And I think we have two more motions relative to this discussion from the AP to consider, and then we'll take a break. But motion number three is an allocation to the general category at 5.5% of the total available access area TAC per year. And Deidre, do you think you could just explain the difference of this and status quo for people so that they know what's proposed here? I'm not sure that I know exactly.
Sure. I had to remind myself, too. Okay, so this motion number three came up after the advisors discussed, you know, which areas they felt should be open and so forth. Then we moved on to, in each framework, we can also decide which areas the general category fishery is allocated fleet-wide trips. Again, remember, limited access fleet gets an individual allocation by area, whereas the general category gets a certain number of fleet-wide trips that someone can choose to fish their quota with or not. It's sort of an option available to them, but they don't have to go in a particular area. When area rotation first started, this was a very back burner thing. General category was open access. We always just said, set it at a certain number of trips in each area. We gave it across the board. In more recent years, looking back, we saw that the closed area two trips that were allocated to that fleet were never used. It's very far. No one ever went there. So in the more recent years, we have not allocated any trips into closed area two whenever that area has been open. So we've given the general category fishery a certain percentage of the TAC in access areas when they reopen, but only the ones that are near shore. So basically everywhere else except closed area two. There was interest, and it came up at the advisory panel level that, you know, ideally the general category fishery would prefer if they were afforded the same percentage of their total allocation across open areas and access areas. So, you know, basically it ends up being 5.5% because you have that small amount of limited access vessels that have that IFQ as well. So their discussion yesterday was, well, we would like to have our allocation percentage of 5.5 carry over in all areas that are open to the fishery each year. So that would mean, you know, 5.5% in every area, including closed area two. But as the discussion went on, it was pretty clear we don't actually want to go there. We're not going to be going there right now, but we can't predict, you know, maybe that's something we're going to either have to do down the road, or we just want to maintain our percentage access to the resource in these important access areas. Went around and around, and ultimately it came down to, okay, instead of probably at least right now not a lot of people going there, let's prorate that 5.5% of access in access areas that you would have had in closed area two and prorate it in all the other areas that would be open to the fishery. So I haven't run the math yet, but so it basically instead of having 5.5% in Nantucket Lightship or whatever, you would have some prorated amount, so it would be slightly higher in each of the access areas. It's probably not enough of a thing that's going to, you know, throw limited access allocations out of whack. Certainly we have to take a little time to run the math and figure out how it's going to work, and arguably you're going to have a little more effort in an area that you wouldn't have had, you know, because you've been taking those closed area two access and moving it somewhere else. But I don't think we're talking about anything that's beyond how we round this stuff out anyway. But I haven't talked to anyone on the PDT about this particular thing yet. I think that probably sums up what they talked about yesterday.
Thanks, Deidre. And our AP is a combination of limited access and general category, and we did get a fairly strong vote of support for this motion from the AP. And, you know, the PDT will look at it and bring it back to us, so we'll get to see the numbers before we take final action. And as I indicated earlier, Bill Wells is here. And any time when we discuss these motions, Bill, that you'd like to add anything, please just let me know. And Tom?
Thank you. And following up on your comments, since this was an AP motion, do we need a committee motion to direct the PDT to pursue this? Then given that and given the conversation, I think that was constructive and really what I think is a pretty innovative and positive solution to making sure that the general category has their share of the scholarship allocation, and that it's distributed in areas where they can actually access that small boats. I actually think that the AP solution here was something that we should really look pretty closely at. So with that said, I'd like to bring motion six from the Scallop AP meeting, September 17th, 2013. Oh, excuse me. Amended motion three. Getting ahead of myself. Amended motion three. And that is to allocate the general category 5.5% of the total available access area TAC per year and prorate the trips proportionally among remaining areas open that year, excluding closed area two.
Laura, is a second on that? Yes, I do need a second. Thank you. Any questions on the motion from the table in the public? Jim?
Joe Gilbert, Empire Fisheries. I don't like going all the way to closed area two either. It's a long way to go. A lot of expenses, a lot of mobilization. Can I defer my closed area trips too for a time when I really need to go there or it dictates that I need to go there?
This seems pretty straightforward. Did the PDT or you, Deirdre, specifically have any, do you see this as being logistically difficult, or is it just entirely feasible and something that could be done easily?
I didn't yesterday. Sitting here, I was thinking in Excel how we could restrict it and, you know, figure it out, and I thought it worked. I was challenged by a couple of people in the audience that it couldn't be. So I still think it can, but I will have to talk to people at the PDT that ran the lottery because I did not do that. And I saw some emails, but I haven't had a chance to read them yet because I did throw this out to people because I just wasn't fast enough with my math to say for sure. But I think it can be done, and it does say if it can't, then we go back to the other way.
Tom.
With that, and my first read of this is that it should be entirely possible as well, and I think we should pursue it until we find that for some reason that I can't figure out sitting here, it's infeasible. So with that, I would bring this motion 13 from Scallop AP meeting, September 17th, 2013. Confine the allocation lottery process for access area trips so that it is random, but one vessel cannot get more than one trip per area if that is possible.
Dave Preble, you seconding? And then you had a follow-up question? Go ahead.
Yeah, I like this, but I'm the meaning of it is not, there's an unclarity in the meaning of it. Confine the allocation lottery process for AA trips so that it is random, but one vessel cannot get more than one trip per area if that is possible. So that means to me, let me just want to be sure I get this straight, if it turns out to not be possible, then one vessel could get more than one trip per year. Is that what your intent is, Tom?
I actually think that the way I read that, and I sort of just think we could probably clarify it by taking it out of if that is possible, and we're just pursuing it as an alternative. If it's not possible, we just don't do it.
Okay.
So if that clarifies the intent, I just think we could strike that last clause.
Yeah, that's excellent. That's an excellent change.
Tom, maker of the motion, you're talking about striking the if possible part of the motion?
Basically, I think that's what we're checking by developing this alternative or asking the PDT to pursue it is for them to determine if it's possible. I think the intent of the motion is that, that's what we're going to try to do.
Okay, thanks. Any other questions on the motion? Questions from the public on the motion? Ron? Questions or comments?
Yeah, Fishery Survival Fund supports this motion, of course, and removing that phrase is fine. The issue comes up is that you have 342 equivalents, roughly, or let's just, right, so we have 680 trips to allocate amongst four areas. If for some reason it ends up where three of the areas all together end up with less than 342 trips, it's potentially possible that several vessels might end up allocated two trips in that fourth area. It's not going to be a big deal.
Thank you, Ron. I guess we'll bring it back to the table. Any questions, or is everybody ready for a vote on this motion? Yes? All those in favor? Eight, that is unanimous. Thank you. And I guess we'd like to take a 15-minute break. It's 10:30, if we could be back at the table. Before we go, Rick, did you?
Yes, Madam Chair, thank you. And I apologize for my late arrival, but I did have one question related to the agenda. Today we'll be considering recommendations for specifications for the next couple of years that potentially have economic impacts that go into the hundreds of millions of dollars. And I know the AP has had an opportunity to discuss some of these longer-term issues, but I would hope today that we'd have some opportunity to discuss the issue that was raised earlier by Drew Minkiewicz and has been touched on already, some in discussion about trying to consider at least how we might frame up strategies to mitigate that impact that would relate to improving access to additional areas that are closed currently because of habitat considerations or that are closed by groundfish actions. And I know that developing some of these approaches would require amendments or perhaps might be addressed through the ongoing work of the Habitat Omnibus Amendment. But I would hope that we would have some opportunity today to discuss that. And I don't know if you had planned on that coming into the discussion under the discussion of priorities for 2013 or otherwise. But I would hope we'd have some opportunity to talk about at least how we might conceptually approach some of those issues because it takes so long to get anything done. And I would hope we'd have some discussion before here today before the upcoming council meeting.
Thank you for that, Rick. And yes, certainly I would like us to deal with all the motions from the AP, and they have a motion relative to that discussion. And I have it for the afternoon, either priorities or other business, but we definitely will be having that discussion today. And thank you for raising it relative to the agenda. So 15 minutes, and if we can be back at the table at 10:45, please.
Looking at the first motion to go with a one-year framework, I didn't know if we were going to have that discussion about the pros and cons of adopting that approach. It seems like, especially given our, at least the possibility that we'd have to ask for emergency action in the same way or similar way that we've done in the recent history, that maybe a one-year framework or one-year specifications would be the way to go. I didn't know if we were going to discuss that.
I put that under other business because we've had that discussion before, and I think it warrants talking about it again and getting some feedback from Deidre from a PDT perspective. So, yes, it is number one, but I put it at the end of the day. So, again, you know, relative to the section of the framework and the alternatives for specifications, does anybody have anything to add, or are we ready to move on? Tom?
I guess the next question and the only other thing here that could be discussed on our specifications agenda item is the AP Motion 6 looking at disincentives to take trips in 2013 in those interim months before this action is in place. Happy to discuss that here or under other business.
No, that is next. How are we going to deal with the default issues? So moving right into that, we have two motions from the AP, as Tom pointed out, Motion 6 and also Motion 9. And if you look in Document 9, again, our default measures, which go into place March 1st, 2013, are on page 2. And Alternative 1, on page 4, you can see there's quite a difference in access area trips, days at sea, and it does raise issues. This framework expected to be implemented sometime May or June. I think we're targeting May at this point. It depends on how complicated things get and how many things we add to the document. But they don't coincide, so it does create issues. And if we look to the AP motions, they had a discussion about this, and Motion 6 creates a disincentive for vessels to go into access area trips that are going to be, you know, actually, I'll read the motion. Vessels that take 2013 access area trips authorized by Framework 22, so these are our default measures, will give up all access area trips authorized to that vessel under Framework 24, plus 10 open area days at sea. Vessels that take trips into Hudson Canyon at the reduced possession limit that are ultimately authorized by Framework 24 and allocated to that vessel will not be penalized if the trips are made before implementation of Framework 24. And the rationale for the latter part of that motion is that, for instance, if this framework goes into place July 1st and we force vessels to take those trips during the summer months when the water temperature is warmer, it increases mortality. Everything that comes up is not going back in the water alive, you know, anything that's discarded. Colder months, better product, better for the resource. So we didn't – the AP wanted to disincentivize, you know, fishing the default measures, but at the same time recognizing that in some areas, Hudson Canyon – that we may want to allow trips to occur. So that's the one motion from the AP on default measures, and then we could just deal with that one before we move on to the next. Tom?
Yeah, I think this is a really positive approach to how to deal with this that doesn't trap us in constantly requesting emergency action and taking staff resources off what we're trying to do with this framework. I think we'll get to later in the day, as we said, the option for one-year specification, which might help us get out of this cycle as well. But I think this should be considered. I fully admit I'm not sure if the 10 open area days is the right number, or even, you know, what the feasibility of making sure people harvested those trips at a certain poundage and whether in real time we could identify those differences and implement this. But I think it is something that we should look carefully at and pursue as an alternative in the framework. So with that said, I'd bring Motion 6 from the SCOLLOP AP meeting, September 17th, 2013, that was already read into the record.
And do I have a second? David Pierce is the second on that motion. Bill Wells, would you care to add anything to my description? I think you all had a more thorough discussion of it than I described.
I would add 2 points, one of which you've already added having to do with the second part of the motion, so I won't go back over that. Tom, there's nothing magical about 10. We wanted to make this as onerous as we could, and we thought anyone who logically would go and do this, that the pay, that had to be terrible. It had to be bad enough that they would not do it. We have got to preserve the scallops in this area, and this would be, anyone that did this would be clearly flying in the face of any rational thought towards the future of this industry. And we did this in the context of a New Bedford boat that made a landing in the last 2 weeks from closed area 2 with 5,000 pounds of yellowtail bycatch and an observer on board. That has got the entire industry upset here in New Bedford, up and down the coast. We might have put on there to do something with their firstborn. That's how mad we are about this type of flagrant violation that affects everybody in the fishery. That's how we came to the number 10. And we strongly support the motion. As you can see, there is only one no vote.
Thanks, Bill. David?
Well, I'm very much in favor of the motion. I'm in favor of any motion that is offered up by the industry, scallop industry, or otherwise that would involve self-policing for the most part, disincentives, stewardship being shown by the industry itself for the resource on which it depends. The advisors have given this a great deal of thought, obviously. They did that yesterday, I'm sure, prior to that. They consider it to be an onerous penalty. And, again, I'm not in the position to say how onerous it is, but if they've offered it up and they consider it to be a tremendous disincentive, then I'm all for it. Plus, of course, in addition to the yellowtail flounder concern that was expressed, and this, the Hudson Canyon area, pre-recruits, an abundance of pre-recruits. We don't want the industry in there fishing heavily on pre-recruits. Obviously, they'll have some trips, but not as many as they otherwise would get. So I'm very much in favor of this, and I would hope that the ground fish advisory panel would adopt some of the philosophy of the scallop advisors regarding how they do some self-policing and offer up recommendations to make things better for the industry as a whole.
Thanks, David. Deidre, had a comment?
I just wanted to quickly add one other thing that I think came out at the meeting yesterday that hasn't come up. Is, you know, certainly it's a very active industry. A lot of people are involved, but there definitely are groups of people that are not. And in an instance like this, this would come, I think, as a pretty big surprise to many people not following the process closely. So it was discussed yesterday that, if possible, you know, through the industry way, of course, spreading these kinds of things, but even in the permit holder letter, even though these things wouldn't be approved or adopted, again, I'm jumping, assuming the council agrees with all these things, making sure that people really do know these things up front. I don't know the restrictions of that, but there were some, you know, serious concerns raised that, you know, this, you don't want people to come a surprise with a penalty like this. So we, if there are ways we can get this word out beyond the ways we normally do it, you know, we should try to do that.